I'd like to introduce Chad Kissinger. He is a Texas internet pioneer. In 1994, Chad founded OnRamp as one of Texas's first internet operations companies that provided enterprise the ability to connect and effectively utilize the internet. Over the years, OnRamp has grown into a leading data center operations company that delivers a full suite of services designed to help its customers effectively maintain the confidentiality, availability, and integrity of their IT operations without the cost or effort to building and maintaining a data center and IT infrastructure. Please welcome Chad to the Clouds Development Summit.
Thank you. Chad. Thank you, and welcome to Austin. For those of you that aren't from around here, you've picked an exciting weekend to come into town, and hopefully you enjoy it. Real quickly, my agenda, I'm going to try to fly through very quickly and very quickly through at a high level, is the evolution of the cloud as we see it from our perspective. Cloud adoption in healthcare, specifically the benefits, a little bit preaching to the choir at a cloud developers conference, but I'll quickly talk about those. The key concerns that I think that cloud developers have when they deal with cloud providers, a little bit about our HIPAA compliant or HIPAA solution that we do for cloud developers and help with companies dealing with healthcare, and a little bit of a health IT cloud forecast. But first, the evolution of the cloud. If you'd go back about 20 years ago in 1994 when I founded OnRamp, it wasn't the beginning of the cloud computing, but in most instances, companies that were doing computing were doing it on the left side of the, doing it in a form that was on the left side of this a diagram. They were doing in-house computing. Modems were really operating at 14.4, at 33.6. You couldn't connect. It was very difficult to extend computing across distance. And then in the intervening 20 years, of course, we've had two big developments that have advanced us from the left to the right side of this diagram. The first, of course, being high-speed telecommunications that have removed the barriers of distance and time and facilitated both users and administrators to be able to move away from their equipment and not have to be close to the actual the equipment that is operating the computing that they're using. And then the second development, of course, is the development of virtualization, whereby we've disaggregated or separated the idea of the computing from the hardware or the networks or the physical instances of the computing that underlies it. The ability to shift computing loads across physical machines and across space utilizing these high-speed telecommunications lines. And over the past 20 years, it's been really apparent, and a lot of people have predicted, that most of computing would really rapidly move to the right across this diagram. We would go from in-house computing to companies moving out there as their users and as their administrators were able to move outside of their offices. They moved their own equipment outside of their own offices into co-location data center facilities. As they realized that that was a viable option not to be right next to their computers, the next epiphany they had was, hey, we don't necessarily need to own the computers that we're operating on. We can get managed computers, help people that are experts in not just running the facilities, but could actually run everything inside the rack also, all the computers and the SANs and all those kinds of things. And then with the development of virtualization, the ability to create what we call private clouds and public clouds, the ability to disaggregate or separate the computing itself from the physical world, from the computers and the data center themselves, and be able to move it back and forth and do a variety of things. So people really thought that and predicted that we'd move rapidly towards the public cloud model of this. And in the intervening years, we found out that something else has really happened. And where we settled is what we call a hybrid cloud solution. We've ended up discovering things about data and about the way that people compute that really have caused people to use a mixture of these things. And it's funny that the previous speaker was talking so much about sports. One of the examples I have of one of those problems that people run into happened back with one of my first co-location customers back in 1995. He was an entrepreneur, a guy that had a PhD in artificial intelligence, about a 50-year-old man, had worked for IBM, was really well known, raised money, to follow one of his passions, and his passions was Major League Baseball. And he was a Java programmer. He'd been doing using Java programming to do something else in artificial intelligence, but now wanted to apply it to baseball. And he was able to, in 1995, create, based on some publicly available information, there was a company that was typing in textual description of baseball games while they were happening and transmitting them. And he was able to buy this publicly available information, and he created a simulation of the baseball game about 10-15 seconds after it happened in the baseball stadium. And he was able to tie that to, of course, all the statistics of the players. And when somebody hit a base run, it was immediately reflected on the website. You could hear a crack of the bat and the crowd cheering. This is in 1995. You could see the little player run around the bases. And it turned out it was really popular. People in Japan and people all over the world that couldn't see the New York Yankees playing could see exactly what was happening online. So it was obviously going to be a big hit. Got a lot of investment money, really took off. What could be the problem? It's going to really, this is cloud computing at its purest in the earliest stage. Well, he ran into Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball asserted that, hey, we own the right to even the description of our games or a simulation. If you're basically recreating a private performance, and they, and long story short, they won. They won in court. So it's an example of somebody. The technology is very exciting. It presents all these benefits, and we want to adopt it. But there's a characteristic of the data. Somebody owned it. Somebody had a vested interest in controlling it, that restricted the ability to adopt that technology. And today we see that. I see that a lot with cloud developers, specifically with healthcare. We have people that are very excited about the adoption of cloud computing, but they end up eventually, especially when I'm at the American Telemedicine Association or places like that, I run into cloud developers that run into the realization once they start dealing with bigger customers that the data itself has some characteristics that maybe make complete cloud computing not necessarily the appropriate solution. So we deal with a variety of customers in our company. Our company, OnRamp, here in Austin, operates enterprise-class data centers in Austin and Raleigh, North Carolina. We've been in business for 20 years, and we deploy, of course, what's called a hybrid computing solution. And we found out that hybrid computing solution, the mixture of co-located equipment, of private clouds that we deploy and maintain for customers, and then cloud-delivered services that we deliver from the same facilities, are very attractive to a certain subset of customers, and these are some of them: banking, e-commerce, government, and healthcare. And of course, all these companies have something in common. They're all dealing with sensitive data. And as companies have moved across that spectrum that we were showing you before, from doing in-house computing to doing public cloud computing, they've realized in dealing with their sensitive data that they have three big concerns with those data. And that is maintaining the confidentiality, the availability, and the integrity of that data. When a doctor's office used to keep your data, just until very recently, in a paper folder, it was really easy to keep private. I mean, all that had to happen was it had to be locked away at night. It was really easy to keep it available as long as the building didn't burn or a hurricane came in or something like that, because it was just right there. And it really didn't degrade. I mean, once the doctor wrote down the right information, it was going to stay there for in perpetuity, literally. But as we moved into computers and as we moved into computing into across that spectrum into pushing that data out into the cloud and having more people involved with it, you get concerned with these three things: keeping things private or confidentially, appropriately private, keeping things available, making sure they're up when they're getting there, making sure it's as available as if he had just the doctor just had to grab the file itself, and keeping it accurate, making sure it doesn't become corrupted over time. And as a consequence, the government and various organizations have created requirements. And all of these requirements and the regimes for banking, of course, is the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act. It talks about how do you protect banking information. E-commerce deals with a payment card industry. American Express and Visa have what's called the digital security standards that deal with how to protect information, credit card data. Government has the Federal Information Security Management Act that talks about how to protect government data that the government collects. And then healthcare, of course, has HIPAA that talks about how to promote the P in HIPAA, believe it or not, is portability, not privacy, how to promote the portability of healthcare while maintaining the protection, the reasonable and appropriate protection of the confidentiality, availability, and integrity of the data. So, of course, people want to adopt cloud computing because it has so many of these benefits that many of you already know about. The ability to customize a very flexible solution, the ability to use very flexible resources, the ability to scale very quickly. That's one of the most exciting things that we hear cloud developers talking about. Hey, I want to start small. I want to be able to start nimble. And then when, you know, I get this huge account, I want to be able to scale very quickly in 2 weeks, be able to handle that kind of thing. On-demand expansion. A lot of people it's facilitating the adoption of things that should have been done before but were very hard, such as business continuity and disaster recovery, and it's cost-effective. But it presents some challenges when you start to adopt cloud computing, when you start to adopt third-party solutions. And the challenges are, the first one is business negotiation. In essence, we have all these different individual points, business associate agreements, indemnification, limitations of liability, privacy, injury liability, and insurance. In effect, all that is about how do you share risk with my partner. If I'm going to do a cloud computing, if I'm going to shift out sensitive data out into the cloud, if I'm going to ask customers to allow me to take their sensitive data and put it out in the cloud, how am I going to share that risk with my customer and my providers, my subcontractors, and who's going to pay for what, and who's going to make sure that if something goes wrong, that it's taken care of? How do you do compliant collaboration? How do I make sure that my partners and my people are working together in a way that's appropriate to protect information? How do you create what's called auditable compliance? It's not sufficient just to be compliant. You're going to have to prove it to a trained skeptic at some point, especially if you have large customers. We often have customers that do business, we'll have Fidelity or a big banking customer come in because they're doing business with one of our customers, and they send in auditors that are trained skeptics. So it's not just sufficient to be compliant, it has to be auditably compliant. You have to demonstrate and show it. In cloud computing, it's hard to do that. Media sanitization. Once you stick sensitive data on media, well, media is hard drives and things like that, in the cloud, believe it or not, has hard drives in it that are keeping all that data, you have to prove what happened to that media afterwards. And all those compliant regimes I talked about earlier require that. Availability and uptime is a big concern. Now that you're shifting data out into the cloud, if it goes down, you need to be concerned about how you're going to take care of that. Availability is one of the big requirements under HIPAA, and it's one of the big requirements under many of the other regimes. You have to have reasonable and appropriate availability. If somebody's counting on healthcare data in heart surgery, you need to worry about that. What if Amazon is down or anybody, your cloud provider is down? And then encryption and network security, obviously the ability to keep confidentiality. You're transmitting data now. It's not tightly held. It's going across other providers. It's being exposed to media. So encryption and network security becomes a much bigger issue. So what we do in OnRamp real quickly is we deploy what's called a hybrid HIPAA in a hybrid environment. We have data centers where people co-locate equipment. We deploy private clouds based on enterprise class equipment. We're an HP, Dell, Cisco, EMC partner. We've been doing this for 20 years. We deploy enterprise class computing and data center solutions. And then we supplement those co-location and managed solutions with cloud delivered services like storage, backups, things like that, intrusion detection, things like services like that. And then we have a three-step HIPAA risk management process that we put all of our customers through that help us analyze the risk associated with our relationship with our customers, and to make sure we're doing that efficient, collaborative compliance, to make sure that that both of us understand how we're going to address the requirements of the HIPAA security rule, for instance. We go through in the first step and characterize our system, ask a bunch of questions about what are the dependencies in the system. We frame the risk, in other words. The second step, we assess the risk. And in the third step, we provide a solution for a long-term plan to address the risk. The forecast for HIPAA in the cloud, I think, is very bright. Although we have these concerns about maintaining compliancy and protecting data, we see that there's going to be a rapid expansion of healthcare in the cloud. Only 6% of respondents in one survey said, of current healthcare data IT professionals said, that they weren't going to use cloud services in the future. So it's going to be rapidly done. In some of the areas that you'll see it mostly, I think, will be in hosting of archive data, like your medical records, your x-rays, and things like that. Backup and disaster recovery, and eventually the hosting of operational applications. So thank you. We appreciate you coming.